So we start with this thought of personification of communication. Really, as we see this word defined, John is using word, and it's the Greek word logos. You've probably heard that word before, logos. And the meaning of logos is that which we communicate through words. That's the thought there, whether it's written or spoken, it is communication. And so John is making that communication, that which God desires to communicate with us, a person. He's personifying it as a person. He refers to the word as a person. And so understanding here that the words of God, here's what he desires to communicate with us, that we might know him, that we might understand him, that we might have a relationship with him. You can't have a relationship without communication. I know there's people that try. It doesn't work very well. You have to communicate, right? There has to be communication. In order to be some kind of relationship, there has to be communication. And certainly God, in his love for us, communicates to us. He's communicated certainly through the prophets and through the word here, the written word. But all of that manifested in a person. And we understand that to be Jesus. Right? That is who he's talking about. He's talking about Jesus. And he says here that this communication, this person, is God himself. And so as we see here that as God, the Word has always existed. The second person of the Godhead, and we think of the Godhead, the Father, Son, and the Spirit, as John is explaining here, the Word has always existed. God in human form has always existed. Always. Now, there's people that don't like to accept that. There are. But God has always accepted that three in three. He's always existed in that form. Certainly, again, outside of time. And so the Word here is God. He's a part of God. He was involved intimately in creation. And so this one whose communication himself communicated, and in communicating, he created all things. He created the universe. He created all the worlds. God created by his voice through the word. He created out of nothing. We call that ex nihilo. Ex nihilo, out of nothing. God created matter. God created life. God created time itself. Now that's the issue that right, those who believe in evolution, they have a problem. They have a huge problem. Because where do things come from? And eventually they come to a point where they can't explain it. Right? If there was a Big Bang, well, where did all that stuff come from that created it? Right? Where? At some point, you have to say, at some point, there was nothing. But if there's nothing, nothing cannot evolve into something. And yes, there was a point where there was nothing. And God, who exists, again, outside of matter, outside of time, outside of all those things, spoke, and the power of his voice, the power of the word, created all things. And certainly, as we think of God, he can change things, he has the power, he is certainly the one who is all-powerful, but then we think of ourselves, right? We are his creation, and certainly we have the ability to do some things. Right? We can change things. We can split atoms. Create big explosions. We can piddle around with the building blocks of life and creation, right? We can piddle around with those things and combine them in different ways. We can even infuse sugar with air and make marshmallows. Right? We have the ability to do that. It's amazing. But we cannot make anything out of nothing. We cannot give life to something that is inanimate. Right? We cannot take these bricks and give them life. God can. God could. We cannot. Right? We cannot. We cannot do that. Now, again, we can piddle around with the blocks of creation. We can piddle around with the blocks of life. And some of that results in some very disastrous things. But right, but we cannot make things out of nothing. Nor can we control time. Only God can do that. We cannot do those things. And so here is John is expressing these things. Here is the one who, through him, God is communicating to us. It is through Jesus Christ. He is the Word. He is God expressed, communicated to us. And through this Word, there is eternal life. Life eternal. And he says this life is light. And it is certainly this thought of driving away that which is dark. And so we understand it's the Word, the one that communicates, the one who gives truth, the one who is all that God desires for us to know about Him, is put into the person of Jesus Christ Himself. We understand that certainly He is the one who gives truth, and that truth is spoken to our hearts. It illuminates our hearts that we might understand, that we might come to acknowledge of truth. And so we think of God's truth, and we think of that which is communicated through Jesus Christ, through the Son. We understand a few things. We understand that we are a special creation that God desires to have a relationship with. We are each knit together. We are all made different. We are individuals for God's glory. We also understand in the midst of that, we are rebellious. We are stained with sin. We are marred. We are broken. We are unable to bring glory to our Maker. And certainly we are in need of salvation. We are helpless. We are in darkness. Apart from God's grace and mercy, we are dark. We are lost. We are blind. But God, in His grace and mercy, gives us light, gives us understanding that leads to life. And certainly the light is greater than the darkness. And I love that illustration. Right? I mean, just think of that thought of light and dark. And where there is light, there is no darkness. Without light, right, that's where there's darkness. But darkness itself cannot exist within the presence of light. That is the power of the Word. That is the power of Jesus Christ. In the darkness, there is hiding, certainly, as long as there is no light. So we see this definition as John is declaring these things, and he's going to kind of draw us back to the beginning. So he says he's defining for us this thought of the Word. He's defining for us who Jesus is. Here is who Jesus is. And He is God communicating Himself to us. Thus brings us into the Word declared. The Word declared, verse 6. There was a man sent from God, his name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And so here we see this light was declared. It wasn't in complete darkness. It was declared to us. And so John the Apostle interjects for us John the Baptizer. And John the Baptizer certainly was a prophet, and we'll talk more about him next week for sure, but he was this great prophet, and he certainly was the forerunner. He was the one who declared to all who would listen, the light has come. The Messiah is here. Not Messiah is coming, the Messiah is here. He is among us. And so he declared publicly, the light. It was not hidden from mankind. God did not do this in a vacuum somewhere in the middle of a place where there were no people. Right? He said, I provide you a Savior. He was crucified. Accept it. No. This was done publicly. It was declared to all. And so certainly John reaffirming this thought that the Word is eternal. The Word is a creator. He is the giver of life. He is the giver of light. And as the Word is declared, that then again brings us to the thought of decision. The Word decision, verse 9. The Word decision, verse 9. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So certainly we understand there is a choice to be made. And the desire of the Word is to give life and light to every single person. That's his will. That's his desire. And yet we see here that he is rejected. Rejected by those he lovingly created. We see this rejection on a couple different levels. He says he comes to his own. And certainly we could take that in the context of just a thought that he came into this world. And as the human race, he was rejected. But also he came to his special people. He came to the Jews, and they also rejected him. Those who had the prophets, those who had God's special revelation, those who had the promise the Messiah was coming, that the Savior was coming, those who understood the times, those who were looking for Messiah, even they rejected him. Turn to Acts chapter 7. Acts 7. And here we have the end of Stephen's sermon. A very powerful sermon. A very convicting sermon. A sermon that got Stephen martyred, right? Right after this, they stoned him because the people didn't want to hear it. They want to hear the truth. Acts chapter 7, verse 51. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets do your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. Now understand, Stephen is not saying this out of hate. Right? He wasn't saying this out of some kind of hate for the Jews. Right? He wasn't doing that. He was saying this because he loves them. He's saying this because he wanted them to repent. He wanted them to understand what they had done. Now we understand that we all are responsible for the death of Jesus Christ. Every single one of us. Well, we have reaffirmed our connection to the decision that Adam and Eve made. We have all reaffirmed that over and over. That we are rebellious. Right, that we want to do our own thing, that we are selfish in our own sin. And that has led to God's provision of salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. Right? That is the answer, and that's the provision. So we all, right? We are all. But Stephen here pointing directly to the Jews who should have known better. Like, which of the prophets did you not persecute and kill? Right? Which of them? Like, all of them. In some way or another. And so you have done with Christ. And so we see John talking about back in John chapter 1. We see John then kind of explain, right? Look, yes, he came into this world and he was rejected. Here's the one who is the source of all truth. Here's the one who is light that leads to life. And he was rejected. He was crucified. But God, in his grace and mercy, right? God accepted that sacrifice. He accepted the fact that our sin was placed on Him that we might be made righteous. And so even in the midst of rejection, we see God and His sovereign will. We see it at work here. And so we see here a decision. We see those certainly who reject. And yes, in our natural state, we are blinded certainly by our sin. We reject the light. That is right naturally where we're at. We hide ourselves not wanting to know truth, not wanting to hear the truth, to reject the truth. How many times did you hear the truth? How many times did you reject the truth before it finally clicked? How many times? And so I want you to understand, yes, there's a decision to be made, but it's not like God offers us a one-time thing. And be like, all right, here it is, accept it. Oh, you're going to hell. Oh, you did accept it. You're going to, right? No, it is a process. And thankfully, God is gracious and merciful to us. He is. And so no matter how many times we reject the truth, how many times we hear it, He's still there working on our hearts. And thankfully, the Spirit of God is there illuminating, helping us to understand. And there comes that moment truly of true decision where we either repent and say, yes, Lord, I need your provision of salvation that is in Jesus Christ. And as John proclaims here, to those who receive the light, those who receive Jesus Christ, they become children of God. Not by birth. Right? Not by birth. Not because you're related to Abraham. Not because you went to church and were born in the church and were baptized in the church and blah, blah, blah. No. None of that. Nor is it your abilities. Nor is it anything that we could do. It is of the will of God. Right? This is God's will. The plan of salvation, the plan of redemption is the will of God. We didn't make this up. Right? It's not us making up rules, making up things and being, if I do this, then that pleases God. That's what the Jews did. That's what those who follow religion do. No, this is about relationship. And the provision that God provides is of the will of God. It is not made up by us. It is not of us. And so as we think of these, we come back to this thought, how is this possible? Right? When we're truly honest, right? When we are truly honest with who we are, I know most of the time we like to lie to ourselves, but when we are truly honest, because I know who I am, right? I know who I am. I am sinful. I am selfish. I am rebellious. I am a broken, dreadful creature. I know that. But I also know the wonderful grace and mercy of Jesus Christ who has redeemed me. I know that. And so here's the decision. Right? Here's the decision as we are faced with the Word. Right off the bat, John brings us to a place of decision. We have to make a decision. Right, we need to. And if we reject it, fine. God's still working on you. He is. But hopefully we come to this place where we truly understand who Christ is. We are born again as children of God. And that can never be taken away. It can never be taken away. And then last of all, the Word dwelt. The Word dwelt, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, "This was He of whom I said, 'He who comes after me is preferred before me, for He was before me.' And of His fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him." So everything that God desires to communicate to each one of us, to you personally, was made flesh and dwelt among us. Everything God desires for you to know is Jesus Christ. That's why I went through and kind of in preparation for this, we talked about Messiah. We talked about how this is completely, in every aspect, centered around Messiah. In some way or another, it is. All of it. To bring us to this point of understanding, here is the culmination of everything that God desires for us to know in order to have a relationship with Him, in order to have eternal life. And all of that culminates in the person of Jesus Christ. And His love is ultimately communicated to us through Christ. He lived as one of us. And He communicated the glory of God to us. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2 and Paul writing here about who Christ is and reminding us of the glory that within Him contains the fullness of the glory of God. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Verse 8 says, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of man, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power." So remind you, what is the world? The philosophy world is self, right? Over and over, it's about you are the most important thing. That's the philosophy of the world, one way or another. That's what it comes back to. And Paul reminds us, don't be cheated. Don't be cheated. The most important thing is Jesus. And you are fulfilled in Him. You are made complete in Him, not in self. Not in fulfilling self. And in Him dwells all, right? All the glory of God is complete in Christ. And so here we see in Christ all truth. Truth that brings us to the realization of who we are and our need for salvation. Grace to deal with our sin. And it is through Him that the creation is restored, that God is glorified. We understand God originally created humans. Began with Adam and Eve, right? Our original purpose. You were created to have a relationship with God. A wonderful, intimate relationship with God. That's your purpose. And through sin, right? That has been, right? There are then barriers between us and God. But in Christ, that is restored. Right? That is restored. Our sin was placed on Him. We are made righteous, not of ourselves, but in Christ. To God's glory. Right? To God's glory. And John reminds us that the other John blabbed it, right? He was the one blabbing it to everyone that this was the case, that Messiah had come just as God had foretold. And through the Word being made flesh, we have grace squared. Right? Grace upon grace. Grace squared, multiplied by itself. Grace that knows absolutely no limits. Just as God's love absolutely knows no limits. Right? For us. And so certainly that is centered in the person of Christ as He became a man. That is, right? God communicating to us. Grace that I desperately, desperately need. John reminds us that it was through Moses that holiness was declared. Right? Righteousness was declared. God's holy standard. But it is through the Word, it is through Jesus Christ, that there is grace and truth. We think of Moses. We think of the people standing on the mountain. They're not standing on the mountain, standing at the base of the mountain. They were standing at the base of the mountain. And God revealed Himself to Israel, to the people, to all the people. And they were absolutely terrified. Did they see the full glory of God? No, just a glimpse. Moses saw a glimpse, profoundly impacted him. He became a glow stick, right? And so the people, right? The people were like, we cannot handle this. We cannot live. We cannot function in the presence of God. Moses, you go. You go speak to God, and then you come speak to us. You communicate what God has for us. We can't do it directly. And so certainly that was an imperfect system. But through Moses, certainly we understand it. And it wasn't the point of the law is not to justify man. It condemns us. But it's to bring us to a point where we understand our need for the Word. And so God is communicating to us in a way that we could comprehend, in a way that we can handle. We can't handle the fullness of the glory. In our present state, we cannot handle it. And so God Himself became a man that we might know Him, that we might have a relationship with Him, that someday we would, someday we're going to see the glory. Not in this body, in a new body. But we will stand in God's presence, because it's only possible through Jesus Christ. We can't comprehend that glory. Only the Son, right? Only the Son, only the Word, only Jesus Christ declares to us God. And it is only Him, not anyone else, right? Not anyone. Right? There may be other people claiming, I know this or I know that. But certainly if it does not fit within what is declared through Jesus Christ, be careful. Right? But here, everything we need to know is in Christ. And here is a way that God could then relate to us in a way that we could understand, in a way that we could have a relationship with Him. And so it is through Jesus that we truly find the love that God has revealed to us. As John continues, he's going to point to people, he's going to point to places, events that testify to Jesus as God, that testify to the Word made flesh. As we close, let's look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's kind of wind our thoughts down here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And the Apostle Paul, contemplating really all these things that we've just talked about, contemplating who Christ is and the fullness of that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 says, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who lived should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even those who have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for the word. We thank you that Jesus came, that he is the ultimate expression of your love for us, that you desire to communicate to each one of us. We thank you for the faithfulness of those who wrote these things down, and that you have preserved it for us, that we might read it for ourselves, that we might hear it for ourselves, that we might know for ourselves and believe and have faith. And so, Lord, I just pray that we truly would understand, that we truly would be in love with you. I pray, O Lord, that that would affect every aspect of our life. I pray, O Lord, if there's anyone who is confused, if there's anyone who doesn't understand, if there's anyone who thinks they are saved and are not, I pray, O Lord, that your Spirit would convict them. I pray, O Lord, they come to a place of genuine faith in you. In Jesus' name, amen. As we contemplate, just think about just how wonderful our Savior is and his grace. Let's sing.